it on? Yeah. In this week's Parsha, we have the story of the Meraglim. There were two good guys who were among the Eda Hara Hazos the Meraglim, Kalev and Yoshua. And Kalev gets Yoshua gets special chizuk from Moshe, right? Vayikra Moshe Loshe Abinun Yoshua, and Kalev apparently took his own initiative, right? Vayaluva Nega Vayavod Chevron. Rashi says Vayavod Loshem singular, that only Kalev went to Chevron to daven at Maris Hamachpela at the Kivrei Avos to be saved from the miraculum. We see that Kalev gets a special reward afterwards. Vo'atenus Haaretz Asher Darach Ba'ul Vanav Yan Hashem Yileach Hashem, for doing the right thing. Kalev is Kalev and Yoshua, classic examples of someone who goes against the tide, to against the peer pressure, against the chevra, against the influence of the group, to do the right thing, and to stand up for what he knows is right, and for avodas Hashem and for the truth. So just two ha'aros that I've seen about Kalev. Number one, why did he go davka to Chevron, to Ma'aris HaMachpela, to daven? Okay, so on some level, okay, we know this is a chus of davening by the Kivrei Avos, etc. Some people take it more seriously, some people a little less seriously. But it could be it was deeper than that. It wasn't just as a chus of davening Kivrei Avos, like people go nowadays to Uman or something. It was that, what was Kalev's problem? Kalev knew what was right. The only problem is that, as the Rambam quotes from Aristotle, he says in a number of places, that we are very much formed by our surroundings. The people around us have a tremendous influence on us. That's the nature of a human being, that we're part of a chevra and we're influenced by our chevra. And Kalev was very deathly afraid of being influenced by his chevra. Maybe Yoshua a little less so, because he knew he had Moshe Rabbeinu, he could picture Moshe Rabbeinu standing behind him, giving up a bracha and sending him off. But Kalev didn't have such a special relationship. How did Kalev manage to resist the peer pressure of the Meraglim and still do what was right? So maybe he could say that was why Kalev went to Davka, to Chevron, to Marsa Rechpelot, to the Kivrei Avos. Not just to daven, but to be inspired, because after all, on the one hand, Kalev didn't have his peer, he didn't have anyone telling him to do the right thing. But he did. They just weren't physically with him at the time. But he had his avos, he had Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he had a masorah of all those people who did the right thing, and he knew he was really descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Maybe that's an eitzah, even if you're in a bad chevra, and you don't have the right friends, you don't have the right influences, what do? Sometimes you have to take from your past. You know, he had to say, okay, maybe these 10 guys are influencing me the wrong way, but how about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? They're also with me. I'm their descendant. I think of them. I learn the stories of what happened to them. If he saw himself as part of the family, a relative of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that could create positive peer pressure, and that could create positive models that even though they weren't here, he summoned the image, the Dmus Yukno, like Yosef did, of his father. He summoned the image of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to help him mechazik him. Not only that, but what's unique about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is that there was no Am Yisrael then. They were Yechidim, right? Avraham was the one person who smashed all the idols who came from his father with the Terach, etc. And Yitzchak was a Yachid, and Yaakov was a Yachid. Eventually they became an Am. But they were Yechidim, so he went there, A, to get inspiration that even when you're a Yachid, you can resist the peer pressure and you can still do the right thing. You have Bechir Chavshis to do the right thing and daven to Hashem for help. And B, that he didn't have to be a Yachid. Even if physically there was no one good with him now, he could remember the good people from his Masorah, from his growing up, from his Torah years, from his yeshiva experience, as it were, you know, and even if they're no longer with us, and draw chizik from that. So I think that Kalev going to Chevron is two great examples. How does someone remain good and do the right thing, even if people around them are doing the wrong thing? A, to draw inspiration from other people who are Yechidim, who did the right thing, and see that it's possible. And B, to, if you can't surround yourself with a good chevra, at least in your head to surround yourself with a good chevra, and to remember all those great people who we're really closer to, who are our ancestors, who are Rebbeim, who are our the founders of our Am, and that'll give you chizuk to do the right thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein makes another ha'ara. He says, there's another problem that Kalev had. Forget about the fact that he had negative peer pressure. He wasn't going to succeed. He was a failure. What did he try? Moshe, and he said, "Alone now, Lev Yerushal." He tried to do all the right things, but you know, he was outvoted. He and Yoshua, fine, but they were outvoted. It was 10-2, and they lost. Right? There was an uphill battle. They weren't going to win. It's very nice that they were telling the truth, but the truth doesn't always win. Sometimes Sheker wins if it has more people and powerful people and influential people and popular people on its side. So says Moshe Feinstein, why did the Torah emphasize so much the reward that Kalev gets? Right? Says that's precisely the point. Someone might think, you know what? I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to bring the world in the right direction, to influence in the right way, but I'm not going to succeed. There's too many people pushing the opposite direction. I'm wasting my time. I'm not going to get anywhere. Moshe Feinstein says, and you can imagine, there were Moshe Feinstein days in America, there were probably people who felt like that. Like, here am I, I'm standing up for Torah and mitzvos, and I'm against everyone, and for each one of us, the 1,000 people saying the opposite, and we're not going to get anywhere. And Moshe Feinstein says, look at Kalev. He got a tremendous reward in the Torah. Hashem was machshev Kalev so much, not because he succeeded, davka because he failed. Hashem said, nonetheless, I want to hold him up as an example, it's not your achrayus to succeed. Hashem runs the world. It's not your achrayus to succeed. It's your achrayus to do the right thing and to try your hardest. Kalev made the right decision. He tried his hardest. He got the same reward, whether he would succeed or not, because Hashem doesn't demand that we succeed. Hashem only demands that we try our best. And Moshe Feinstein adds, and you know what? It's not even so posh at what's success and what's failure. In the short run, right then, unfortunately, 40 years in the Midbar, he failed. But who knows what would have been if all 11 of 12, or if Chas Shalom, all 12 Meraglim had come back with a negative report. Maybe they would never have made it in even after 40 years. Maybe it would have been the end of the experiment. Maybe he really saved the Sheiras HaPleita, and even though it looked like failure at the time, in the long run, he led to success and to the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. So even if it doesn't look like you're going to succeed, even if the odds are against you, there's too many people fighting the other way, look at Kalev, number one, Hashem judges us by our efforts, not by our successes. And number two, you never know when you're going to succeed in the long run. Just going back to Moshe Feinstein coming to America in the days when it was a Midbar wasteland, you know, there were those people who didn't give up and said that, you know, we'll stand up for what's right even in America, even though the odds are against us and it's hopeless. And in the end, as history would have it, they succeeded and succeeded in building a tremendous Torah community in America, which is second best in the entire world. Because if you stand up for the right thing, you get your schar, and you never know if you're going to succeed in the end.